Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of XVlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and wow, we have a solid 75 plus minutes for you folks. State of play last night didn't hit the Richter scale for a lot of people. I walked away with a 7. I'm sticking to my 7. But we're going to talk about two points of contention with C-Money in a second that I think are worth having this conversation. First and foremost, some of the banter from PlayStation diehards, man, not so good. I actually was sent a clip of a YouTuber who's pretty popular, pretty popular PlayStation dude, and I was actually going to use it until, of course, I listened to it. And I'll say this. The F word was uttered, I think I counted about 17 times. So we can't have that kind of rhetoric on this show, so we're not even going to use it.
We'll be making a video on it, though.
As you should,
it's
sir.
It's going to be glorious.
As you should. And let's welcome in C-Money, a.k.a. the Pony Smasher himself. What's going on? One half of the dynamic duo. How you feeling, brother?
Oh, man. Feeling so good after that state of play.
Vindication, as they say, right?
Listen. I feel good because they were wrong and the rumors were not true. The only rumor that was true was the homeboy. It wasn't really a rumor, but the only person who got it right was the homie Special Nick, who went out there, literally put it all
point
out
to point,
there,
brother, like
point to point. And he was, in fact, on point. So, yes, but the other rumors were not true. We did not see a Hi-Fi Rush show. We did not see a Sea of Thieves. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Xbox knows where it's at. Let's go.
I said this last night. We're not going to make it a topic because I know some people, you know, get annoyed when you talk about things that you've talked about before. But I said it last night. Real quick, I do want to get your hot take on this. After the fiscal second quarter, C-Money, I think from a businessman, which of course we know that you are, it's safe to say that with the amount of monies that they are making, literally hand over fist, there right. is absolutely zero reason to put your stuff on an opposing platform that is still number one. Like there's no reason right. to add to their success of being number one. I say that because I hope that, I know that Phil Spencer, I know that Matt Booty, and especially Madam President Sarah Bond understand that there is something about brand loyalty that matters. There's also nice. Something to say about, and again, I'm not a business analyst by any stretch of the truth, but I know from being simplistic that if you're trying to sell your service, it needs items on said service that other places don't have access to. Now, that's not setting up a walled garden. That is just business. What are your quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think at the end of the day, they have to look at it and they have to be seeing the same thing that most of us are seeing. Is that you're going to do more damage than good if you go ahead and put your games out there. Because first of all, you're giving your games to a group of people who constantly crap on them, right? So they're going to purposely not buy it just to prove a point. But also never forget the lesson that we learned by the late great, and he's not dead, he's here, but when I say late, meaning he's not a part of the real conversation anymore, the late, great Cliff Bleszinski, who spent his entire career making Xbox games, then when he finally went on his own, he put his game exclusively on PlayStation, and it died and went away. And then
it backfired on him terribly. Yeah, it did.
It backfired on him terribly. Yeah. Now, obviously, the point being is that you have your fan base who, you know, loves the games you're making. We're the ones who said, you know what, the games you're making are worth us going and playing over there, so let's go. You're going to take it away, and not take it away, but you're going to go and put it somewhere that it's going to, they're not going to care about it, and you're going to annoy everybody who was ride or die through all the times when there weren't that many Xbox games, right? Like the people who sat there and said, you know, we're ride or die. It is what it is. This is what we're rocking with. And then now that we have games, you're like, okay, cool. You guys are not enough. You know, let's go ahead and put it elsewhere. Like, I wouldn't be good with that. I know that the ponies were cool with Jim Ryan slapping them up like that, but I would not be cool with that, man. That would not be cool. So I think it would do more damage than good. And I think, you know, obviously there's always going to be people at Microsoft who are going to be dreaming of this scenario, right? Because, you know, even Satya said, if it wasn't for the fact that exclusives exist by the other competitors, we wouldn't be making any of our games exclusive, right? But the fact of the matter is that in this industry, exclusives do exist. PlayStation still does them. Nintendo still does them. And nothing has changed from that moment. So Satya is not magically going to be like, yo, we have to put our games everywhere, when you just told us that you know that we have to have exclusives in order to compete correctly with the other the other companies who are doing this on a normal basis, right?
Yeah.
So I just don't see it. And as much as people were right at the last second, big people saying it's happening, putting out the little thing, little Easter egg, or being kind of obvious but not saying it, that they believed that the game was going to show up, you know, Sea of Thieves was going to show up at this event, it did not happen. This is just the way, man. Xbox, Phil knows better, man. He knows better. He knows that he built this brand now up from the dumpster fires that the other dude put us in. And to now that it's having some impact, why would you devalue your brand by allowing access to the games elsewhere? It's nobody looks at Xbox as a game publisher that way, right? Nobody's looking at them like, yo, your game should be on PlayStation. They're looking at them as a console first, right? It's an Xbox. And the Xbox, yes, they're first party studios, but to start devaluing yourself right when you are becoming something that is known, when you're just about to release games that make people say, holy snap, look at what these guys got going on over there, you're gonna take it and say, you know what, don't trust the fact that every game we make is going to be exclusive. Every time we come up with a new game,
you'll never be able to get out from under that umbrella.
No, it's always going to be the same. Everybody's
just gonna takes one, and then every conversation, C-Money, right to your point, it doesn't matter what the game is. It could be the greatest game since sliced bread. That's not going to be the question. That's not going to be the banter or the conversation. What that is going to be is that going to PlayStation? They cannot allow that. That cannot happen. The conversation needs to happen. Hey, we released said game. It's available on Xbox Game Pass and PC. This, if you want to play it, this is how you're going to play. That's it.
Facts. That's the only way. Anything other than that, it's just going to devalue the brand. It's going to cause brand loyalty to diminish, right? It's going to be like, if you don't fucking trust the brand or care about the brand like that, why should we sit here and give a shit, right? Like that's really what it is. Like, sure, I'm gonna keep playing my games there, but am I gonna sit there and you know, defend all the bullshit all the time? Probably not. It probably will change a lot of how I see the situation, because it's like,
well, you'll feel disappointed, you'll feel a bit betrayed, and I don't think you'd be wrong, because that's what happens when fans are fans, right? They you know, they're invested in a brand, they expect them to be treated a proper way. But look, I don't think any of that's going to happen. What I do want to open up with is, okay, so this year, I mean, today is February 1st, and P.S., by the way, before we move any forward or move forward in any way, today is my nephew Tyler's 15th birthday, and nice. I almost want to cry, because I remember holding him and literally taking a picture with him with an Xbox controller in his hand, And now that kid is as big as I am. I'm 6 feet. That kid is big. That's so awesome. Happy birthday to you, Tyler. Happy birthday, he is home from school. He took the day off, as I think all kids should do on their birthday.
As you should,
I don't
man.
Know if
Your
he's listening to the show, but folks, do me a favor. Throw in the chat a happy birthday, Tyler. That is my love, brother. That is my boy. He may not be my son, but he is my son. And love him, and we're gonna hang out with him tomorrow. Looking forward to that. So yeah, happy birthday, Tyler. And let's quickly move on.
Happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, and obviously you have kids, so I know that the, you know when they get older, it's heartbreaking. But you know you want to keep them small forever. You know it doesn't happen that way, unfortunately. But thank you so much, Simon. Super appreciate that.
Of course, bro.
So look, today's February 1st, right? It's been a pretty interesting 2024 in the first 31 days. So let's call a spade a spade. But I kind of want to move the needle a little bit because I want to move it to the Game Awards. And I do that because we're specifically talking about Xbox and how they're rolling. Now, depending on who you ask, I think that 2023 for games for first party was just brilliant. I think they're going to do even better this year. Okay. But if you see money, look at how Xbox is currently rolling. They come to the Game Awards and they literally steal the show. There is just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They stole the show. That's it. Right. They had trailer after trailer after trailer, big bombs. The zeitgeist was Xbox. Now we move into 2024 and we have one of the best directs we've ever had. Now, mind you, we've only had a couple of them, but it was phenomenal, right? Nice. So if we're comparing apples to apples, well, then we have to look over and see what happened last night. Now, I give it a 7, but I do specifically want to roll these 2 points. One of which comes from Hargeet Chani, great friend of the program, and obviously panel member of Primetime Gaming, as well as Kay Asante, who both last night said, and again, I'm paraphrasing for a bit, Hargeet gave it a 4 out of 10. Kay Asante gave it a 5 for a PlayStation-centric show. And from a game show point of view, a 7. Now, as a PlayStation fan, which I am, I'm an Xbox first fan, but I still like PlayStation. I still play on it. I gave it a 7, and I'm going to stay with it. I'm okay with it because there were a couple of games there that I like that maybe other people don't. And that's fine. But honestly, and this is not poking fun. This is not console warring. This is taking points of contention and using it to great purpose. From a PlayStation-centric point of view, C-Money, this is another fail for PlayStation. And I say that not because there weren't good third-party or even some second-party stuff there. There were things there that I'm going to buy. But you have to ask the question, because it's been asked of Xbox, so I think it's only fair that we ask it of PlayStation. Where are the first party games? Because Death Stranding is there, right? That's still it's still a third party game. I'm talking about Bend Studios. I'm talking about Insomniac. I'm talking about Naughty Dog. Just, you know, you folks, you know the studios. Just roll the studios off the tip of your tongue and ask the question, where are these games? Because C-Money, this is now the third consecutive show that if it doesn't have Spider-Man in it, it don't got no first-party games. I think that's a bit of a problem. And I'm going to say this. We don't know what their June show is going to look like. Hopefully, it looks like
something.
If
they have one.
If they have one, that's another one. I would imagine they do. But if they don't have anything to show, then maybe they don't. I honestly don't know. We'll have to wait until June. But I can tell you that if June's show is anything like this one, people need to hit the panic button. Because, like I said, we're talking directly Xbox Direct, just happened in January, and now versus the PlayStation State of Play though it was a fine show, at least in my opinion. Some people in the chat are like, no, Boom, it sucks. It's terrible. I hear you. I'm not going to argue with you. But if we're comparing C-Money, I think we kind of know who's holding the winning, the gold medal, and it's not PlayStation. Let's get your take on this, man.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, Xbox destroyed them. I mean, let's put it this way. If Xbox came out on the day they did their developer direct and only showed Indiana Jones and talked about nothing else, that show was still miles ahead of the state of play that we just got. So you are very generous. I gave the show a 5, but only because I was looking at the Xbox games I was getting. That's what boosted it up another point. So as a PlayStation show, it would have been a 4. But from what I saw, it's a 5 because Judas looks dope. And, oh, man, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Judas, okay, Ken Levine, he's a gangster because he took PlayStation's money, all right, and he put a pony in the game.
He did. As a villain. Yeah.
That was amazing. He literally has a pony in there that you get to kill. It's crazy. What a game. That being said, yeah, no, I just, it, comparison's sake, there was no comparison for me. Listen, PlayStation, the direct, the state of play thing they did, I've heard a lot of new terms for it. It's like the state of decay is the true state of decay as PlayStation is decaying. But honestly, you got to think about what happened there, and you can kind of easily see that they are having real problems with their first party, because even Kojima, right? Yes, they showed Death Stranding 2, right? But they were so desperate for their lack of games that they made this man announce that after this game comes out in 2025, after Death Stranding comes out next year, it is next year, right? Am I mistaken?
2025, correct. Yes.
Yeah,
same, 2025. Same thing with Ken Levine's game. Is Judas is expected in 2025.
Yeah. So when you see him come out and say 2025 for Death Stranding, after that, he will begin. He's going to start this new espionage game, right? But it's not a game. Even though Herman Hull sat there, it was like, oh man, my favorite genre, the tactical espionage, whatever genre. He was like, yeah. It's definitely a game, but it's actually a movie. And then they zoom out and they show you that they're on a movie lot, right? Yeah. So, like, but that's how desperate they are, that they're trying to get this guy to announce a game that is nowhere in the vicinity of coming out. More likely than not, it's going to be for the PlayStation 6 app that's released, you know, whenever they release it. Because it took them 6 years between the first one to now, yes, to make Death Stranding 2. He's making another game, OD, that's coming out sooner than this other game that they didn't even start yet, right? So, like, this, you're not going to see this other game for years, but they still have an announcement just for the hope of giving PlayStation fans a roadmap of sorts to say, hey, listen, at some point in the future, you're getting this cool game that's going to bring it back to what he used to do, except that he's literally saying that, nah, it's a movie.
It's probably going to be some sort of an interactive thing too. Like, I mean, if they're showing a movie set, I don't expect it to, because they don't make games on a movie set, right? So
it's probably going to be more like an interactive movie. I mean, listen, OD is obviously his big step into that idea, yes, of making something that's going to be more movie-like, right? Which doesn't matter to us, because for us, that's just another game, right? OD is just another game that we're getting, not like our hopes and dreams game, right? Where they're getting a game announced for so far in the future, but it's like, hey, look, this is coming. And that begs to question, why haven't they come out and done what they did when they announced the PlayStation 5 and showed us a logo of God of War that was coming out? Why haven't they done a freaking show where they just one of the games, a logo for Ghost of Tsushima 2, a logo for this other game, say, hey, look, this is coming. Anything. They have nothing that they're sure about at this point, and it's crazy that they haven't done anything. Yes, we can assume that these studios are making games, but from what we've heard, what we know is that there's turmoil over there in the PlayStation land between the developers, because they were going to be forced. They're basically were pulling a Bethesda, where they were being forced to make these games as service and multiplayer focused games that they didn't want to be making. And then Jim Ryan's gone. Now they're trying to flip back. They canceled Factions, a game that was in development for how long, that they said, you know what, we're not even going in this direction, so forget it, right? Because think about this. They said that they couldn't sustain keeping development on for Factions after its release because they want to work on new things, right? So if they couldn't do it, how are the other studios that they had who are going to make these multiplayer games do it, right? It's just not feasible. They haven't showed us because they're not sure of what they have. And that is wild. That is wild. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm very disappointed.
The bottom line is we don't know because they're not talking. And shout out to Meek Gamer. Now, he seems like he's someone that's relatively new, so welcome to the program, brother. He says, why do y'all speak in absolutes? Because, I'm confused by the question. You mean, like, why are we speaking about Sony in absolutes? Because this is what Sony has provided. I can speak in absolutes about Xbox because we're going to get into what's coming out in 2024. Just reconfirmed on Xbox Wire. And the list is ridiculous. What we got last night, if that's your 2024 and you're good with that, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, like I said, I'm going to buy Silent Hill 2, but I'm going to be honest with you. I really kind of need to see a little bit more of it because it looked very grainy, and I understand Bloober Team has a way of doing games. I don't know. I mean, it's looked a little bit dated. A lot of the things there look dated. Now I'm
Short looked better to me.
Which one?
The demo.
Oh, the short. I downloaded it this morning. I'm going to play it after the show. I'm going to try it out at some point. Yeah.
But that looked more interesting than the Silent Hill 2 remake. They really are literally just trying to follow Resident Evil 2 remake's blueprint. And the problem that these people don't understand is that once we already had it, it's up to you to do better. To push more because we've already been there, done that shit, man. And it just literally looks like a worse version of Resident Evil 2 remake. I mean, just the reality, they're not pushing the way they should, man. Like, again, when they had the freedom to make something, which was that little short they made, the little short game or whatever, the little short demo that they dropped, that looks interesting. That looks higher quality, higher fidelity. It's wild. I don't know. I feel like when you think about why are we talking about absolutes, because we just watched their state of play and saw for our own eyes what they have. And based off of what they should have and they're not showing us, we can say absolutely that something is going on. When Xbox just gave us a developer direct where they showed us four huge games, five actually with Visions, but that's just coming everywhere. But four huge games that, again, you take any single one of them and they're game of the year for somebody. Okay. Even Ara, I'm including. I know a lot of people like to leave that out.
But dude, there's a shot that all three of those, of what we saw, there's a good shot that three of those games could be in the six for game of the year. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, I don't think we're suggesting or even falsifying what we think could be true. Indiana Jones is taking the first person genre and flipping it on its head because you're going to get third person and you're going to get first person. And where we saw that used to great extent was when Starbreeze, which a lot of the developers that are currently on that team are from OX Starbreeze. What did Starbreeze make that was phenomenal that still holds up to this day?
Baby.
There you go. Yes. So yes. I think we're going to see something special there. Listen, I understand that some people are looking for Obsidian's game to be more a Bethesda game, but you shouldn't ask for that because that's not what they make. They make.
And we have Bethesda. They're ours. Yeah.
Yes.
We don't need Obsidian to make that type of game because now Obsidian could just make Obsidian games and we'll play Bethesda games exclusively on Xbox when Bethesda releases their game. We don't need multiple. See, that's what PlayStation dudes don't get. See, they live in a world where every game needs to be the same type of game. I need that third person over the shoulder sad dad simulator. That's the only way that it works for them. If it's not that, they think it's trash. Look at what just happened. Look at the reaction that some of these big PlayStation dudes had over this event.
They weren't happy. I can tell you.
They hated the show.
They hated the show, bro.
So many curse words, so many explicit is being used during these things, which, of course, we're going to use a lot of them in our video, but shit.
Sell a video, bro. Let's talk about it. Oh my
God. It's like they were not happy, but the PlayStation Pony dudes who worship them are like, what do you mean? Why are you talking bad about it? These dudes can't even keep up the facade anymore. That they can't keep living the lie that you ponies want to live in, where you think that PlayStation has this advantage. They are so out of their league, bro. They're so out of their league. We're not even competing in the same sport anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely behind the eight ball, especially when it comes to first party, which of course, you know, if depending on who you ask is incredibly important, especially to PlayStation players. It's why they have a PlayStation. They've thrown it in the face of Xbox gamers for years. To some extent, they were right because Xbox did drop the ball, in the early Xbox One days, even though I think that their launched lineup for Xbox One was way better than the PlayStation 4.
That's the problem. That didn't count, right? Because of the Rise wasn't first party. Dead Rising.
Rising is Capcom.
They said third parties don't count.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We had Sunset Overdrive the following year. It doesn't count, right? Like, that's the mindset that they have until now.
Yeah.
Now everything counts. Now everything counts. Stellar Blade, that's ours. Oh, they made a new deal with them. Okay, cool. What's the other one? What's the Rise of the Ronin that everybody's pumped about? Dude, listen to these PlayStation dudes talk about Rise of the Ronin. I'm not the only one who thinks it looks dated as hell. I could have played that game years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You're telling me that's what I'm supposed to be excited about as my exclusive game to play? That's supposed to make me turn on my PlayStation 5 that's been sitting there? God of War couldn't keep me playing. The first one did, but the second one didn't. Spider-Man 2 couldn't keep me playing. Again, the first one did, not the second one. These half-ass games that are trying to just copy everything else and not put any energy into being original. I'm sorry, but floating when you jump, the Switch had that with Zelda, and then every game after that has been copying it. You can already do it in Horizon Forbidden West. Why are we excited that the dude jumps in the air, gets on a kite, and floats down somewhere? We've been there, done that. The combat looks, it doesn't look any better than the best combat games out there. It didn't look better than Bayonetta when at its peak. It didn't look better than Ninja Gaiden Black from Xbox original days, dude.
Yeah. Like,
let's be clear. They're not excelling at anything, but you dudes who are desperate to play something on your PlayStation are justifying it because that's all you have coming. And I get it. And the Xbox dudes who are pumped for it, great for you, but you know that shit ain't it. You're just excited to turn on your PlayStation for once because you bought it. You know what? I'm okay, even though it hurts me deep inside, I'm okay to leave that PlayStation off until they actually deliver something that makes me say, holy hell, this is why I have a PlayStation 5, not the regret box that I have there that I just look at every time saying, why can't I turn you on to play something interesting? Why? It's frustrating.
No, I mean, listen, it's all good points. it's all good points. I can't argue. Like I said, the last time my PlayStation was turned on was this morning to download the new Silent Hill game, which I honestly cannot believe is free. Like, I'm blown away. Yeah, the demo.
Well, how long is it though? Is it a few hours?
Well, it's 12.15 gigs. So to me, obviously, it's probably cutscene heavy. If I'm gonna play it after the show, I don't know. If I'm a guessing kind of a guy, because it's free, because they never give away anything, it might be like a 30 or 40 minute experience, which is okay with me. It's a new Silent Hill game. I'm in the bag, folks. I'm there. It's free. Just download it. I don't think you can go wrong with it. A reason to turn on your PlayStation 5, at least in my opinion. And I'm a horror guy, so I'm all in. But real quick, let me catch up on the Super Chats, because there was a little pinch of controversy once again from Eurogamer. John Linneman, who, look, you want to like the guy. I don't think he's a terrible human being. I just don't. Some other people could take him, leave him. I get it. Obviously, he has a knack for getting himself in trouble. So what am I talking about? Give me a second. Hang around. I'm going to get to what he said yesterday. That, again, it's a bit of a head scratcher, John. I don't understand why you do this, but let me catch up on the Super Chats. The first one of the day, seen when he comes the way of Dean Rivera, drops a very generous $5 Super Chat. It says, J-Dub was capping so hard for that showcase. Dude said it was a 10 out of 10. People that didn't play Death Stranding are capping for it now. Stop. LOL. I put 60 hours into it, and I'm an Xbox guy, right? So I bet you I played more than most PlayStation people. I actually did not think I was going to enjoy it, and I really did. Now, again, apologies and a thank you to Saucy Mods, because he dropped a GTA 5 story mode code in the chat. Now, I where the apologies come is that he had reached out to Dreadpool, who sent it to me, and dude, I honestly forgot all about it. I sometimes get so many things in my inbox that I literally forgot. So thank you for dropping that code. Whoever got it, please thank Saucy Mods for the generosity, and I appreciate you reaching out to me, brother. Simon Brandy drops a very generous £2 Super Chat and says, the media don't ask what's multiplat Judas is. Yeah, we kind of knew that. I mean, even when they announced it, you just went into it and it says, you know, you can up on, you know, you can wishlist it for Steam. It says Xbox Series X and S. I mean, they were funny. If you remember, they said in development for PlayStation 5. It's in development for everything. Why are you lying? This is why people always say PlayStation, all they do is lie. There you go. Dreadful Sean, who's been a channel member for 12 months. Dreadful, thank you so much for the generosity. He says, Dragon's Dogma, which releases the same day as Ronin, was shown first. PlayStation has more faith in Dragon's Dogma than their own money-handed third-party exclusive. I mean, it's interesting. I'm going to tell you this right now. I did not know Rise of the Ronin was the same day as that game. And I'm going to tell you this straight up. Epic fail. Epic fail because listen, this is a Capcom joint that everyone has been asking for. The game showed off real well, and it's going to eat Rise of the Ronin's lunch. It really is. That's dumb. They should delay that and give it some room to breathe. That doesn't make any sense to me. Silent Brandy drops an additional £2 Super Chat, and he says, Silent Hill look jank. Bloober team are mid. That's what C Money said. I saw it. It looked, I mean, folks, I'm not poking fun. I'm buying the game. Silent Hill 2 is my favorite in the series. It's scary as F, but it did look a bit grainy. Like it did. Now, I don't know if that is what it's supposed to look like. But it looked, I'll put it to you this way. The problem I think everyone, including myself, will have is that Capcom, speaking of which, set a industry standard with remakes, with Resident Evil 2. If you can't match what they have done, don't even bother showing up, because no one's going to take you serious. I hope that's not the case here. I hope it is as good as Resident Evil 2. I don't know. But again, I'm in the bag. We have here Meek Gamer, who's been a channel member for a month. Meek, welcome to the back again. Thank you so much for being here. And of course, thank you for the generosity. He said, I think C Money is being very intellectually dishonest. I don't see that, brother. And it's not because he's my co-host. I don't even know what to say to that, C Money.
I don't know. Maybe he can clarify what I was being dishonest about.
I think he's
been, at least I was doing intellectually. That was the plus.
I guess there's that.
I wasn't being dishonest like a dumbass.
I'd have to disagree with that. I don't think he's being dishonest. I think he's being factual. I think he's being an Xbox fan. He's kind of dumping on a PlayStation,
owns PlayStations.
Who owns multiple PlayStations? PS, by the way, yeah. Look, I don't know. I do want to get it back to John Linneman. Now, John obviously works for Eurogamer. He is dude's probably the smartest guy in the room when he walks in. No one's denying that. But you see, there is a way to compliment something without shitting on something else. And that's how I would have handled it. I said last night, wow, damn, that Death Stranding looked dope. I'm not even going to front. The guy playing the electric guitar, fighting up with those robots, that was dope. I'm in. Take my money, please. You know, no problem. What I didn't like is, and what's going to get him in trouble, if he's not already in trouble, see money, is the fact that he said, and unprovoked, well, that Death Stranding, that looks amazing. Hell of a lot better than Hellblade 2. Why?
What?
And what is he seeing? Because I know that we've seen Hellblade 2 a lot. And I'm sorry. He said it.
What?
He said it. He did. So.
Oh, my God. That is the worst take I've ever fucking heard.
It's not a good take. That's being intellectually dishonest. Because if I'm not mistaken, C-Money, wasn't it Insomniac that was using Ninja Theory as the basis of how they
want the bar
to move for their graphics and not the Decima engine? I'm just saying that the Decima engine is owned and operated by PlayStation and Kojima. They didn't say that in the leak. They said that after seeing Ninja Theory's Hellblade 2, that is the benchmark for where we want to take real life graphics. So for John to say this, and this was brought to my attention last night, I was like, well, that's not really smart.
Was that in a tweet?
I'm going to see if I can find it. I got to reach out to Kaysante. If you're in the chat and you might be, drop it into the DM where this knucklehead said that, please, if you wouldn't mind, because that's just dumb. But I mean, look, while we get some clarification, because again, it was brought to my attention last night. I figured we'd make mention of it now. If in fact he did say that, what are your thoughts, man?
I'm dumbfounded that he had the balls to say something like that. First of all, again, just like you said, Insomniac has had access to all the games that are at PlayStation. They all have a summit. They all talk to each other. They all know what's what amongst each other. And after seeing everything that was on offer at PlayStation, they still said that their visual target, what they are hoping their game could look like by 2026, 2 years after Xbox has already launched that game, the game is Hellblade that they want to go ahead and mimic. And if you look at Death Stranding 2, like, listen, I would, before I heard this nonsense, you know, I would have sung its praises of saying, man, it looks really good. But does it look Hellblade 2 good? No, it does not. Not in any way, shape, or form. It has great looking environments. right? And it looks good, but it does not look Hellblade good. Understand, that was all cut scenes that we saw right there. We've seen gameplay. I mean, we saw some gameplay, but as soon as you see the gameplay, it turned into Death Stranding 1. Like, let's be clear.
Yes, very true. It looked
the same as Death Stranding 1. So let's not act as if it went some high level. Everything in between that was CGI, okay? Was cinematic. Hellblade has shown us the transition from their game to the real game. And when you see the real game, when you see her face in the real game, when she's hitting and fighting and doing everything, the same quality levels there. It does not change. It's the best looking game that has been made to date. There's no one who can honestly say different. And the fact that these homies, this guy, John, why? You didn't have to. There was no reason. You could say that one game looked good without trying to put down Hellblade 2, which is on Xbox, which, you know, this is my problem with him, right? And, you know, it's messed up because I generally don't have a problem with him or his takes. But the fact that he constantly whines about being against the console warring, right? He does it. He's so frustrated with the idea of it. Yet homeboy went ahead.
Okay, I have confirmation. Confirmation. The way of the wow. Red Dragon, who is a POS by leaps and bounds. This is what he said. This is again POS number one, the Red Dragon. Well, normally I don't talk about people, but that guy is not a good. He's not a good human. Sorry, he's just not. He's a terrible person. He says this. Xbox fans are having complete meltdowns after Digital Foundry's JL, which of course is John Linneman, declares Death Stranding 2 on PlayStation 5 looks, and I quote, much better than Hellblade 2 on Xbox.
I got to see this tweet because I'm on John Linneman's.
No, it's from the Red Dragon. I'm gonna do a screen snap. Hold on a sec, because the Red Dragon has me blocked. So
I think it looks much better, honestly.
There you go.
But Hellblade 2 is up there.
Whatevs, brother. Listen, again, it's. I don't know. My thing is this. And this is where I kind of want to involve the Chatsy Money. This is a PlayStation show, right? There's no Sea of Thieves. There's no Grounded. There's no Hi-Fi Rush, which you see on your screen. It's about PlayStation. Why is it that a show about PlayStation and a Eurogamer company, who we know is PlayStation invested, right? We know where their allegiance lie. Was it actually necessary for him to take a dig at Hellblade 2? I don't think it was, but you see, what I'm aggravated about is this is the same John Linneman that said, hey, peoples, stop getting on me because my mental health is collapsing, which we can't make a joke of. Like, he might have had a serious nervous breakdown. I don't know. And I would imagine that it's the internet, and the internet is not very nice. And I say this, please don't be a freaking jerk and bully people because they don't agree with you. You're going to get blocked from me. Don't do that. That's just really shitty. But what aggravates me is you get out there on the socials, you say, listen, I'm kind of being bullied. I don't like it. Someone like me will come in and defend you. And then you do some stupid shit like this, and you say, I don't get it. Why open yourself up for trouble? Why did you have to compare one to the other? Couldn't you have just simply said, wow, man, this Death Stranding on another level? Because
I was just going to say, because I to be fair, okay, he does throw a dig with his original tweet about this was, yes, Death Stranding 2 looks absolutely stunning, so many amazing details. And then he replies to himself saying, oh yeah, as far as games not released, this is the best looking thing I've seen yet. proper next gen showcase here. So that was the tweet that he made, which is a dig at Hellblade because he knows people consider it the best looking thing out there. But he didn't directly say it. It was somebody else who said, oh, okay. Don't think it looked as good as Hellblade 2, who responded to him. And then his response was, I think it looks much better, honestly, but HB2 is up there. So
thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
It was after somebody brought it up. I mean, it's still bullshit to say that you think it looks much better. Put Hellblade 2 up on the screen. Put Death Stranding 2. The game that's coming out next year versus a game coming out this year. And Hellblade 2 beats that game. Easy. Not even a question. So that was disingenuous to say. But to be fair to him, he did not just throw a haymaker over at Hellblade 2 for no reason. I mean, somebody asked him about it, or at least
you could say he was coaxed into potentially saying something disingenuous. But again, me personally, and again, this is just me understanding how social media works. What my response would have been? Well, they're both fine looking games
or something. Exactly. Yeah,
they're fine looking games.
He knows what it is.
Yeah.
And he gets upset because even after, right? So he said that. And then Blade says, the guy who responded, who first asked, says, this doesn't surprise me. You would said the opposite if the PlayStation logo was on Hellblade 2 and Xbox on Death Stranding, which we know is true. But he gets on, says, that's so stupid. What is wrong with you? Go away. And then he pissed off response to himself again, says, this stuff really boils my blood. I get excited about something and these people come out of the woodwork instantly to ruin any excitement I might have. Bro, you did it to yourself.
Yeah,
you did it to yourself. You did not have to try to diminish a game that you can see the shit with your own eyes. Hellblade 2 is the standard of what next gen can look like, and I could tell you right now, this Death Stranding 2 did not look better than Hellblade 2. Matter of fact, it looked just as good as this Death Stranding 1 did on PC, right? It looks just as good, but it's not Hellblade 2. Let's be clear. Like, it's not even a contest or an argument. That's just, anything you say about that, that's just, you're being facetious, right?
How I would have handled it quite simply is this. Both games look fine. That's it. There's no reason to go into it. There's no reason to suggest one is better than the other. I'd have been like, wow, both games look great. Yeah, you know, yay for gamers. Yep. But
exactly. Again, if you really want to play that role where you're not being disingenuous about one console versus the other, even though you know very well that the world sees you that way, right? Everybody thinks that's the way you are. And then you play your hand right into them by saying something like that when you didn't need to. You could have just been like, nope. That game looked really, really good as well. Done.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but look, at the end of the day, small tangent, kind of wanted to talk about it because obviously it's starting to make the rounds on social media, and here on Double Barrel Gaming, we like to keep up to date. We like to keep pointed. We don't point fingers, and we certainly don't bully. That's something we don't do. We have conversations, and I'm glad you were able to clarify that he said it only after someone had suggested it, but again, knowing his history and him being, and again, nobody wants to be bullied. And I'm going to tell you this right now, straight up. If I ever find out that you're bullying someone, A, I'm going to report the shit out of you, and B, I'm going to block the shit out of you. Because you got to understand, bullying is something that's real and it's serious. And just because someone doesn't agree with you, we're not going to stand for that kind of rhetoric on this channel. And no one should, for that matter. But let me take off the Popo hat because I retired almost a decade ago. Let's get into the continue our conversation with video games. Now, obviously, we opened up with what appears to be Xbox and first party. And we saw last night what appears to be Sony's 2024, which, again, depending on who you ask, it's probably going to be okay. It's going to be okay for me. A lot of the games I saw, I'm going to buy. Give me a reason to turn on my PlayStation 5. Not a problem there, right? But yesterday, and again, it's a little sus, and I love it. Xbox Wire, see money, put out an article confirming a lot of what we already knew, but I think they pulled a Sony, and no one's really talking about it. So that's why we're talking about it here, because yesterday was State of Play. We knew it was coming. They announced it, and Xbox Wire puts out an article saying, and this is the title, 2024's game lineup is going to be incredible for Xbox players, and here's why. And this was written and published by the Xbox Wire staff. No one particular person is noted here. But it goes on to say this in the press release, C-Money. 2024 is going to be a great year for Xbox players. Across Xbox consoles, PC, cloud, and Xbox Game Pass, you'll find a truly special lineup on the way. As you saw in the recent Developers Direct broadcast, our teams and partners are bringing world-class experiences to Xbox platforms. With new ideas, long-awaited sequels, incredible exclusives, and I love that right there, and more all on the way, no matter what kind of game you're looking for, you'll find it on Xbox. And they say, we try to cram it all into a single article would be impossible, but we have arranged a choice of selection just some of the upcoming games in categories to give you a sense of what's coming to Xbox this year. Now, I want to give a proper shout out because, you know, of course, we give the shout outs where they need to be. And of course, we give the credit where credit is due. This tweet comes from Hazador Gaming on X. And, you know, again, it's a small list, but this is a list of lists, at least in my opinion. Now, mind you, this is not everything. There are some surprises that have not been announced. That they've been talking about that publicly. See, money, this is what 2024 looks like for Xbox. Aura, History Untold, Avowed, Hellblade 2, Towerborn, Stalker 2, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, and timed exclusives, as well as third-party gamings coming to Xbox and Xbox Game Pass. And I think this really does cement how Sony has taken up at least half a dozen steps back where they were to where they are now, because this is an even bigger and more killer lineup than last year, which I thought was ridiculous. What are your thoughts on the reconfirmation on the same day of the PlayStation State of Play? Do you think this was done, on purpose?
They do everything on purpose. And the one big word that they made sure to put out today.
I know what you're going to say. Say it.
When everybody was saying that, no, this game's going to be shown at PlayStation. Exclusives that we're getting. Exclusives. They didn't say, we don't need exclusives anymore. These games are going to be... No. Exclusives. Understand, Xbox listens to what people are saying, and they respond if you pay attention all the time. And they did, because guess what? We didn't see them at State of Play like other people thought that they would. So, man, all it does is it shows that at the end of the day, if you're an Xbox fan and you're on this side of the fence, you know you're eating like never before, right? It's not even eating good, all right? We're eating like no one thought you were capable of eating. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just so much coming. It's insane. It's so insane that it makes ponies who are supposedly interested in PlayStation news and information, and it makes them come to shows called Xbox Vlog Live.
we have a couple of people in the chat that are that they may or may not be real people when they just simply have a gray letter Exactly. I'm looking at them now because I'm like Sauron. I see all. I have three screens open, folks. So I see all. And stop lying. You're frustrated. You're fanboying. I mean, are we though?
Like, no, we have over 40 games coming day and day into Game Pass this year alone. Over 40. PlayStation's not even going to have 40 games this year, bro. Like, what is happening? Like, they don't have.
And according to one chat member, C Money, Xbox is second class citizen gaming console. I guess you're a fan of what the hell's his name? Is it John?
John Campia.
Yeah. And why did I forget? I used to watch John's stuff all the time. I was a big fan of him when he was on Collider. And then he started his own thing. I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And I loved his stuff. I always thought John was a bit of a pompous ass to some extent. And he kind of proved me right when he said that.
Well, we smoked him on a video.
Yeah. As you should. Look, he is very big. He's a very, very popular YouTuber. He has lots of subs. He's supposed to know better, brother. You can't just go out and insult an entire fan base because you can't play Indiana Jones. Brother, he's loaded. He can get an Xbox, or he could play on his $5,000 rig that I'm sure he has to run his show. So I don't know. I just, that's one of those things. It's just he got himself in trouble with the fan base, and that's, you know, what are you gonna do? Don't be a jerk.
He's just catering to the people that he knows. Just like, I mean, think about it, man. You look at all these PlayStation, these bigger PlayStation YouTubers, they got so many subscribers, right? Crazy amount. Because these ponies, they go and they're not a community, they're a cult, right? They use
hate mongering to gain popularity, which I think is gross.
Exactly.
Sorry. But
the crazy thing is watching some of these, watching some of them break, like some of the YouTubers, where you can see they're growing very disenchanted with what PlayStation is going on.
Hold on a sec. Let me just ban this knucklehead. Goodbye, David. Have a nice time wherever you are and enjoy your PlayStation. Please continue. I couldn't take any more of the insults. I found it to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, but again, it's funny because they'll come in here to talk all this crap, right? But they want to ignore their own leaders of the YouTube PlayStation game who are frustrated. The ones that you see on video, right? Not like the Red Dragons of the world who sit there and they type something out and they just, you know, they don't have to be seen when they're reacting to something, right? These people, they can't, you know, the amazing Lucas, he went off on PlayStation.
That's the guy that had the F-bomb attack, right?
Oh, yeah. We got a good video coming out.
He went crazy. He did.
Off on them, yo. And it's like, dude, this is the same reaction you should have if you are, in fact, a PlayStation fan, right? Because if you're a PlayStation fan, you're supposed to be looking at things that are worth your time. Understand that PlayStation releasing the game, Xbox releasing the game, it doesn't mean anything because I only have so much time to play games, right? And most grown adults do. So no matter what you do, you're going to select what you play. You can't play it all unless you're just playing a little bit of one game, a little bit of one game, a little bit of one game. Sure, right? But you can't. You got to be selective with what you play. And I could tell you right now, what PlayStation has coming out right now is not something that makes anybody who really was hoping for them to deliver something exciting, it's not delivering. And that's just the reality. You can be saying to yourself, okay, well, I'm going to play Stellar Blade because it's a game that's going to be exclusive. Cool. Fine. Does that game look amazing? I'm going to go ahead and say, no, what it does is it looks like a game that couldn't come up with its own ideas. So it stole a bunch of other ones and didn't do it as well. There's not a problem stealing other ideas because most games do it. But if you can't do it as well as the games you took it from, then you start seeing the cracks. And that is what we saw, or what I saw.
Can I correct you on one thing, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Not Stellar Blade. It's actually, according to Kay Asante, Stellar Yams.
Stellar Yams. But again, even then, man, you're like, it's, I don't know, it's crazy. Boom, go ahead, man. I got to take a call real quick. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, go do your thing. Go do your thing. Listen, so folks, while he takes a call, because obviously he's working in real life, folks, and he's still doing the show, which is crazy generous of him. Let me catch up on the Super Chats. Ryu Art Gaming, welcome back, brother, and thank you for the very generous $5 Super Chat, and says, which is wrong? PlayStation fans praising the show, or PlayStation big YouTubers saying State of Play was mid at best? Hashtag make it make sense. I think the easiest way to answer that is capping or coping or copium, but whatever, you know, word you want to use. Look, the truth of the matter is that PlayStation, they're in a bit of a pickle. Right. They have great IPs, folks. No one's suggesting that Last of Us is not a good game. It's a phenomenal game. It's a phenomenal franchise. The same thing with Horizon. The same thing with Spider-Man and whatever franchise that you enjoy playing. Right. They have a lot of powerful IP. The problem isn't that. The problem is that they were taken in an opposite direction of what they were good at doing, right? To chase a trend, which was gas games, right? And it's funny how this is what they're trying to do, when yet Xbox was mocked by the press and the public for Sea of Thieves and for Grounded. You know, right? So, and obviously Fallout 76 didn't hit initially. Apparently, it's a really good game. Like, it's not for me because I'm not an MMO guy, but ESO is obviously a big thing as well. These are gas games, and they're all doing really well. They have millions of players. Sony doesn't have that yet. They could have had that if they would have had the gumption and the smarts, at least in my opinion, to finish off The Last of Us Online. That if they could have dedicated a team to keep that thing going, that would have been a big deal for them. People really loved Factions, not for me per se, but it would have been big for them, and it would have been an IP that people understand and appreciate. The same way with trying to reinvent the wheel with SOCOM, they didn't do it. It's just, to me, it's just madness. They release a very successful Twisted Metal show. It got greenlit for a second season. How is there no game with that? I mean, you own Twisted Metal. How do you not at least remake Twisted Metal Black, the best in the series? I don't know. Because you had leadership that is no longer there in Jim Ryan. And obviously, they don't have, again, he was up there on stage doing his thing, Herman Holtz, but obviously, they have no confidence in him as leader, because what should have happened, and I said this last night on Primetime Gaming, they should have made him the interim president, taking over for Jim Ryan while they found someone else, or at least potentially made him the president, but they didn't. Hiroki Totoki, who is the CEO of Sony, took over and is going to be running things at least until April. That means that they have no confidence in that dude. So there's something that happened, and their direction changed. So now here we are, we're in 2024, and Microsoft and Xbox specifically are hitting on all cylinders. Their first-party games are ridiculously good, and they're all going to be high meta, even if the press tries to dump on them, which they're going to. The IGNs and the GameSpots and the Kotakus, bro, I'm telling you straight up right now, these games could be 11s out of 10, and they're going to figure out a way to shit on them, because that's just what they do. This is why I started a YouTube channel, because I don't trust the gaming media. And now I get a chance with these amazing people here to talk to you 5 days a week and give you my opinion. And it's not disingenuous. It's not fanboying. I call Microsoft out all the time. But when talking about first-party games, you know, there are two companies going in opposite directions, and we know who those are. Rocket Scientist, thank you again. I got that name right. I feel educated, brother. I feel vindicated, to be honest. Drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, when you can't keep Xbox out your mouth, hashtag rent free. It's good stuff, man. I love it. Dean Rivera drops an additional very generous $2 super chat and says, no, John tweeted that last night. I saw it. Okay, good. Okay, so, you know, listen, again, nothing against John. And when he was out there and he was kind of like, he was kind of in it and, you know, people were bullying him. I can't sign off on that. I can't co-sign that. Don't bully people. And again, when he talked about his mental health being an issue, that you should be concerned about that because that's scary. But again, why does he have to do that? Why not just answer, well, both games look fine? Because that's how I would have answered it, not to have the controversy, but he's a grown man. He can handle his business. We also have here our Gato Sir drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, it's an opinion. Who cares? Why should he get in trouble? Most casuals think Call of Duty and GTA is the best looking game ever. I mean, again, listen, brother, I don't care one way or another. I don't hate on him for having that opinion. I'm just saying that he has gotten in trouble with the community that he represents. He's a content creator, right? And he works for the gaming media in Eurogamer. You put yourself out on the socials and you start again. I don't care what happened, you know, it doesn't matter to me his opinion. If he thinks Hellblade 2 looks less than okay, that's not going to change my opinion on it. I just think that there's a way that he should have handled it as a paraprofessional and been like, yeah, I'm staying away from that landmine. I'm going to tiptoe around and be like, nope, both games look great. And that we're not even talking about it, but that's not what he did. So, you know, make the bed, sleep in it, you know, as they say. Sir X-Men drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, waiting for Kojima's new show, Metal Gear Butt Cheeks. I mean, look, I don't know what's going to happen with this movie thing. He's been wanting to get in the movies for years. I said this before. I'm going to put it out there to the ether. I understand, like, Metal Gear 3 is coming out. Not my favorite. I'm going to be honest with you. It's. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play it. But I don't know how we get to 3 and we don't do 1. Like, honestly, 1 is a pinnacle IP in gaming. Like, that was PlayStation 1 at its ridiculously finest. That game shouldn't even existed, and it did. And it was amazing. So that's what I personally want. I want a Metal Gear Solid 1 remake. And I want it done in the same way with the love and the TLC that you would get with Resident Evil 2. Like I said, for me, that's the benchmark. You can't at least hit that. Don't even bother showing up to class. You failed. But as we wait for C-Money to get back in here, I mean, look, folks, the truth of the matter is that Xbox is going to have a ridiculous year. I don't know what else they can do to win you over. I understand loyalty. I own all 3 consoles. I play them. I enjoy them. I understand that for some, it's a financial thing. And if that's in fact the case, you know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you can't have everything. And you know what? I feel very fortunate to be able to afford all 3 consoles. With that said, though, if you have the means, I don't see why you wouldn't get an Xbox to play these games, because they're not coming to PlayStation. But while we wait for C-Money to get back, I do kind of quickly move to a smaller topic that has a lot of oomph behind it. And that is what came yesterday of the announcement from the developer of Pal World, 19 million players since that game released. That's a big deal. But I think why it's an even bigger deal is because 7 of those 19 million players come the way of Xbox. And that's a big deal. And again, shout out to Okami13_ who tweeted this. And he said, Pal World becomes the biggest third-party Game Pass launch ever. Think about that for a second. Game Pass has had some real bangers from third-party in there. And Pal World, which is a game that cost $7 million to make, has made over $200 million in sales. Now, remember, it's not a $70 game. It's a $30 game. And in some digital stores, it was 10% off for a little bit. So obviously that number kind of went down. But hearing that, and again, Xbox Game Pass launched in the summer of 2017. We're now in February of 2024. Think about how important this is to Xbox and Xbox Game Pass. Pal World becomes the biggest third-party Game Pass launch ever. It's a big deal. So, of course, he goes on to say that it's reached over 19 million players in total in under 2 weeks, with 7 million of those coming from Xbox. So, obviously, the numbers, Steam, 12 million players, Xbox, 7 million players. And I think what's interesting about that is that it's free on, well, it's not technically free. It's in your subscription service for Game Pass. It's a big deal. And this is another piece. Now, C-Money is still not back. All right. So again, shout out to Okami13_ on Twitter. He says Xbox is working with Pocket Pair, who of course is the developer of Pal World, to provide support for things like dedicated servers and optimizing the game for Xbox. And there is a press release here from Xbox, and it says this, folks. Pal World is available in the Xbox Game Preview Program, meaning there's much more to come as Pocket Pair refines the experience ahead of its full 1.0 release. Developers are listening to players' feedback and have started applying their learnings to the game already. And they know crossplay is one of the largest requested from fans, and we are working quickly to address it. On Xbox's part, we are working with Pocket Pair to help provide support for Xbox versions of the game. We're providing support to enable dedicated servers, offering engineering resources to help with the GPU and memory optimization, speeding up the process to make Pal World updates available for players, and working with the team to optimize the title for our platform. I love to see it. C-Money, first of all, welcome back, brother.
Yeah, sorry, we are about talking that,
nah, that's real life. Don't even sweat it.
I had a handle.
It's fine, brother. We moved on to Pal World. 19 million Ooh. Players. Love 7 million of those players came the way of Xbox.
Xbox wasn't playing. Players weren't playing Pal World. This was all Steam.
That was all Steam. Steam
players play Pal World.
I'm glad you clarified that. A shame. I'm going to beat myself off camera for lying.
Yeah. How dare you destroy their narrative in front of them live while they're in the chat? Come on, man. You can't hurt the feelings like that.
I know. Silliness of it all.
Very excited. Very exciting. Pal World deserves it. The game's phenomenal. You know, me and Doodle, we have been playing the hell out of this game. We each put in over 20 hours so far. Loving it. Phenomenal game. Well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, so quickly, you know, obviously we're at the pretty much the end of the show, folks. Big thank you to everyone that tuned in. We had almost 700 people here, which is dope. What was confirmed by Okami 13 on Twitter, and I want to get your hot take on this. We know there's 19 million players, 7 on Xbox, 12 on Steam. But this is an interesting point. I want to get your take on this, because I think this is a game changer, no pun intended, for Xbox and for Xbox Game Pass. According to Okami 13 of Twitter, says Pal World has become, C-Money, the biggest third-party Game Pass launch ever.
Yes.
That's big news, dude. That's big
Xbox
news.
has confirmed that it has over 3 million daily players. Daily. Every day, over 3 million people are playing Pal World. It's really that big of a deal. You know, we've been saying it on our shows. It's such a big deal that Xbox got in at the ground floor this time, right? They got in before it was a big deal, and that's why this boost is so huge. Because remember, this has not happened at all since PUBG. Okay, so PUBG was the last game that had this type of huge spike, made this much of an impact in the genre that they were in, that pretty much now defines the, you know, defined the genre at that moment, where now everybody copied them, right? Power World is going to be that level of greatness. Like, it's going to have that big of an impact. Because remember, Xbox took a year to get PUBG over to Xbox, right? They were the first ones, right? It was exclusive to Xbox. They jumped on it as soon as they could, but they were late to the party, right? Like, Steam already had it for a year. It was blown up. Everything was big. And then it came, and it was huge on Xbox. I remember, man, I put over 600 hours into PUBG when it released. It was phenomenal. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a huge deal. And it was the type of game that if you weren't a PC player, it was a type of game that made you say, oh man, I need to go get an Xbox to play PUBG, right? Like, that's where you were. And now Power World is the same exact scenario, but because of the way Xbox functions, it doesn't mean you have to go buy an Xbox, but it does mean that you have to at least go subscribe to Game Pass. And as also noted in the Xbox Wire post, that it was the largest cloud game
by far.
So many people played it on cloud, which obviously the majority of Xbox owners don't play on cloud. The majority of people do. But the majority play on their console. So when you hear something like that, that's a bunch of people who signed up for Game Pass to stream it just to play this one. And in our Discord, there was somebody, I forget the name of who it was, but they posted a video from somebody on Twitter. It was this lady who went ahead and she was like, I saw Power World. She doesn't have she just has a PC, a MacBook. She saw Power. She was like, oh my God, I got to play that game. So she subscribed to Game Pass just to play the game. But then, when she went into Game Pass, she didn't know how many great games there were in there. She was looking through there and found all these other amazing games that she wants to play. So now, because of Power World, this lady has become a Game Pass member for the foreseeable future, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is the power of having these types of games. And that's why it's so important that, number one, Xbox was there day one, because the hype is right now. And it's up to them to keep it, but they're going to get the biggest amount of people coming in now. And it's going to be a very big deal what they do going forward. Now, you just
they have to keep up the tenacity with the brand, with the brand connection. Like, it has to be out there, even for the casuals to know that this game is associated with Xbox. If they do that, they will see that that more of that will happen. That's a great point, dude.
Yeah, and Xbox is the one who's going to be able to do that, because Pocket Pair, they're not equipped to do that, right? They don't know how to keep this thing relevant, because if they knew how to do it, then their last game would have been this big, right? They don't know. They're just flying by the seat of their pants. They don't know what it takes to keep the momentum going, and that's why it's important for Xbox to step in like they did with this Xbox Wire poll, celebrating it, have Pocket Pair put out there that is doing so well on Xbox, and show the commitment that Xbox is making to the game to help with the Xbox versions, to help upgrade it, to help keep it relevant, to help keep it moving forward, to help with the cross play between Steam and Xbox and all that stuff, right? Like, they are showing their investment. They're showing that they see that this is important. And honestly, we know that it's at least a year of a preview, right? Before it can go anywhere else.
At least.
And honestly, it's up to Xbox to not drop the ball and let this game go elsewhere, because it doesn't need it. You see how many people are playing this game. You see how many people play Sea of Thieves, over 30 million people, right? Like, keep it here. And now you got in on the ground floor of what could possibly be the first real alternative to Pokemon outside of Nintendo. Like, this is really has the cachet. And, you know, we were talking about it when we first were hearing some of the big news, and we're like, man, Xbox needs to get in, because you want to be able, it's not just the game, like the merch for this game would be crazy.
They're working on it. I don't know. Did you see
that? And they're already working on it.
They're working on the merch, which is freaking amazing. And people are going
to, but again, that's not know-how that Pocket Pair has, right? So we already know that this is already Xbox's influence, because there's not somebody like Pocket Pair is just not like, yo, let me get on the phone with these people that we worked with forever to help us develop these things, right? Like, that's not what they have. That's not their specialty. Again, this was not planned, right? Nobody knew this game was going to blow up the way it did.
Exactly.
Not us, not Pocket Pair, not Xbox. Nobody did, but Xbox had an inkling, and that's why they made sure they did the deal to get into Game Pass day one.
It's funny. I wonder if this is a Sarah Bond thing, because, you know, she's out there.
It might very well be.
And she has a good eye for this stuff. You know, some of the stuff that she's brought in, you know, specifically has been like, wow. So I you know, again, we don't know, because no one's talking about it. But look, at the end of the day, Xbox is already rolling in 2024. They are going to continue to roll. It's going to be a great year for Xbox Game Pass if you are a subscriber. And it's just one of those things, like, if you're not subscribed, I honestly don't know what else they need to do to get you in, because it's so many games that you are inundated with. Your back, every time a month goes, your backlog just gets higher and higher and higher.
Right.
And this year, it's bangers after bangers after bangers, and I'm here for it. Like, I don't know about you, my most anticipated game now, because I'm an old bastard, is Indiana Jones. That is my most anticipated game. As excited as I am for everything else, that's the game that has me the most excited, because, like I said, I went to see, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark in the theater. That's how old I am. So real quick, let me catch up on Super Chats.
That's and a big game.
It's a big game. It's going to be huge, dude. Let me we'll get you out of here. We have here Dean Rivera drops an additional very generous $5 Super Chat and says, boom, I found you last year, and you're one of my favorite Xbox channels out there, brother. That is very kind of you to say. Trust me, we super really appreciate the kind words as well as the generosity. He says, love the content. God bless. God bless you and yours as well, brother. Thank you so much for that. Jay Rambert. Welcome, Jay. I'm glad. I hope you're having a good day. He says this after dropping a very generous $5 Super Chat. Not sure why people are upset at John's comments. He's proven time and again that he prefers PlayStation. It is what it is. I don't know if, I mean, again, it wasn't a major topic. It just, I just thought it was worthy of a conversation because of how what he shouldn't have said is he shouldn't have commented on Hellblade. Don't do that, because then you invoke console war rhetoric. He should have been like, yeah, you know, both games are great. That's how I would have handled it. You know,
especially
for
someone who's sensitive to it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, he's sensitive to the console war. So don't act oblivious. You know what you're going to say is going to be viewed by many people. Don't go out there thinking that you don't live in La La Land. You don't have the freedom. You're in the public eye. What you say can and will be used against you. So when you say it, you know that you're putting it out in the ether and people are going to react. And yes, people are going to take offense to you comparing them in a negative way, when we can all see for our eyes ourselves that it doesn't hold water.
Yeah,
that's just what it is.
No, it's fine. It is what it is. But thank you for the super chat, brother. Super appreciate that. Sir X-Man drops an additional $2 super chat, and he has a public announcement, which I am listen, I know that they're gonna be better than the originals, but I'm excited for him. He says, I got 13 days to Tomb Raider Remastered, and I freaking can't wait. Yeah, I bought that the minute that went up. I was like, yeah, just take my money, please. And I'm going to play that. And Chris Washington, Chris, welcome to the program, brother. Thank you for the outstanding generosity. He says this after dropping a $5 super chat. Hello, are there any games on PlayStation that were on the PlayStation State of Play coming to Xbox? Yeah, there's quite a few of them. Sonic is coming. That's a multi-plat. Obviously, Judas. I saw some people respond to him, so thank you for responding to Chris. Obviously, there was quite a few of them. Death Stranding, no. Stella Yams, no. Rise of the Ronin, no.
Death Stranding might come to PC Game Pass, though.
It might.
Like the first one.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. But look, at the end of the day, I want to thank everyone that tuned in. to check out me and C-Money on Thursday. Hopefully you're having a good day. Hopefully you enjoyed the topics. C-Money, let's sell your brand, brother. You got a lot going on. Obviously, you do an amazing show with the Mrs. Doodle almost every day. You guys have a show. You have a couple of really big ones at the beginning of the month and in the back end of the month that are phenomenal. They're like block party, get togethers where you have some of the biggest, the who's who of YouTube out there and joining you. Sell the brand, brother. Talk about where people not only can check out those shows, what those shows are, where they can subscribe to help you get to, I think it's now 13,000 you're looking to get to is the next number. And more importantly, can people reach out to you guys on social media?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much, Boone. Appreciate you, brother. I love doing the show. So thank you so much. Right on the screen, you can see that it's at C-Money Forever over on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Follow us there. We have a good time. Doodles, you just saw her in the chat. That's my wife. She is the heart and soul of the show. And you can follow her at Doodle to Be Free.
Yep.
The word doodle, the number two, the letter B, the word free, all one on Twitter as well. And as far as our show is concerned, I did put the link in the chat.
Yep.
It's On Point for Gamers. We have four shows a week that we do. Yesterday was our huge end of the month block party that we do. Listen, we're Xbox focused, and of course, leave it to Sony and Ponies to announce that their state of play was going to be during our block party, which is fun. So we ended up doing a live react to it as well. But we had Hargeet on there. We had Elite Gaming Guru. We had Karim Jovian. We had Fuzzy Belvedere. It was a fun time. Really, really an awesome show. So definitely go back and check that one out. We do have a show tomorrow night on Fridays called The Night Shift. And as far as The Night Shift is concerned, we have three guests lined up for tomorrow. We have John Wolf, the homie. We have Wilmy Hood. And we have 3-Bit.
Wow, that's a great lineup, dude.
It's going to be a fun show. We're going to dive deeper into this whole mess. So that's that show. On Sundays, we have our show. That's one of our favorite shows to do. It's just me and Doodle. It's called Morning Quest with Doodle and C-Money. Very chat heavy show where we talk about whatever topic we want to, whatever slander we got to give. It's out there. But we have a fun time with the chat. It's very, very chat involved. So that's our Sunday morning show. We start our week off right that way. And then on Tuesdays, we have our guest show. It's our interview show called Her, Him, and a Guest. And this past week, we had a phenomenal show. This Tuesday, we had the homie Retri, who you guys know, who's been on Boom Show for a long time. So he was there. That was a phenomenal show. Definitely go check that out. And then this upcoming Tuesday, we have the homie Lord Cognito coming through, and we will be having our Her, Him, and the Guests with him. So it's going to be a fun time for sure. And that's it, man. Those are four shows we do a week. Definitely come check us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. I see a lot of our homies in the chat right now.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely come.
We share a lot of the same audience.
Yeah, well, I started here, and they come and hang out with us, So
as they should. You and Doodle put on a great show each and every week. Again, shout out to her. She's in the chat.
We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it.
Listen, brother. Again, the whole point of having, incredible community members come on the show is not just to have you on my show, is to kind of spotlight you and what you folks do and get you out there, to the ether. Because, again, YouTube is vast. Unfortunately, it's unkind to smaller YouTubers, which, of course, I still consider Double Barrel Gaming relatively small. It's algorithms and stuff. So you got to pay it forward, folks. That's the whole point of it, is,
and he does
spotlighting.
It's not just words, guys. Like, understand, he's the real deal. He's the
thank
homie.
You, brother. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
He's not. Listen, He said it, right? YouTube is not kind to small YouTubers. Small YouTubers are not kind to small YouTubers. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that Boom is out here, he's legit. He doesn't give a shit. You know, he's not threatened. He's not looking to say, oh, I can't have this person on because I'm afraid. No,
they're going to be too popular and take my subs away. That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Exactly.
It's just dumb.
It's the way some people are, man.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you, homie.
It's my honor, to be honest, to help you and Doodle out. Listen, you know, you're here. We had a great show. Again, big thank you to everyone who dropped a super chat, who, of course, is still a channel member. What we're going to do, obviously, we've already announced the four big shows. I talked about it last night in primetime. Mrs. Boom and I are going to kind of play with the numbers and see what we can do. I think we're going to add for the June event. It's not E3 anymore. Whatever it is, we're going to do a big giveaway. I don't know how big the giveaway is. We have to check the finances, but we're going to do it because obviously we're going to have a lot of people in the chat. And we don't beat you to be subbed or a channel member to win. You just be in the chat and, you know, to pick or pick you and you win. That's how we roll. So a shout out to Thanaros, who's been a channel member, folks, for 52 freaking months. Dude, that is crazy. Wow. He says just fire, dropping bro. The TGIF. Brother, thank you so much for the generosity. Thank you for dropping that. We can all need everyone needs extra. So thank you so much. In 52 months, that's when dope. The freaking show started. Holy crap, that's crazy. But again, a big thank you to everyone. Of course, I'm going to close out today's show with something that's incredibly important to me, folks. Hopefully, one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Log Live.